TalkZone.com.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. It's 12:08 in Chicago, Illinois, and there are big doings today in Illini Nation with the rumor that is spreading like wildfire, one of our sponsors, by the way, regarding Michael Locksley and the New Mexico job. So, Boz, give us your take on this.
Congratulations, Coach. I'm happy for him. You know, everyone's talking about recruiting. They're worried about the East Coast connection, this and that. If you recall, I think it was our very first show. If not, it was our second show, where we had Craig Jeffries on, who's the coach of Dunbar High in Washington, D.C., Vontae's high school coach, and Regis Benn's high school coach. And we, Boz and Mr. G, posed this exact very question to Coach Jeffries. What's going to happen to Illini recruiting when Locksley leaves to take a head coaching job? Because that was, you know, inevitable, whether it was Syracuse, New Mexico, this year, next year, whatever. They had to plan for this. And his response was?
His response was that Zook is the closer.
Right.
Zook is the guy, ultimately, that people had their faith in. He was the guy that people were coming here for, and that Locksley may have laid the groundwork, but Zook closed the deal.
Right. So, and Zook's been doing it now for enough years where he's got plenty of contacts there, and if there are ball players there, yeah, they'll be recruiting against each other now. But it doesn't mean, like the great Tom Lemming says, that it's just going to totally dry up. You know, this is Zook's strength. He has proven that he knows how to find and hire other assistant coaches who are good recruiters. You know, Locksley got his due, but I think at the expense of some of our other coaches who maybe aren't getting their due as recruiters, Reggie Mitchell's a fine recruiter down in St. Louis area in the Midwest. The offensive line coach, Wolford, has recruited well in Pennsylvania. Zook has his contacts in Ohio, and like you, Mr. G, said last week or the week before, when this happens, the new coach that Zook hires to replace Locksley will also be a very fine recruiter, maybe in an area where we haven't been before, but he'll represent that area like Locksley represents D.C. A
couple things that people have been saying and that sources have been saying, this is not a signed deal yet. This is a substantial raise over Locksley's $500,000 a year, and of course it should be. And the other thing that I was going to say is I'm worried not about Locksley leaving, but I'm worried that he may take assistants with him. And that hasn't been really discussed as of yet, and I'm just afraid that perhaps some assistants who we really want to keep on this staff may follow Locksley to New Mexico.
First of all, that happens all the time. Second of all, who do you really want to keep?
Reggie Mitchell.
Okay.
Reggie Mitchell could be offered the offensive coordinator position at New Mexico, could make upwards of $500,000 a year in that position, and he's somebody who, if we lost Mitchell and Locksley in the same year, it would be absolutely disastrous to the program.
I don't disagree with you there. And Reggie Mitchell is the guy who I said earlier in the year would maybe fit into Loxley's job, and they could give him Loxley's money.
It's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, you know, this is something in any organization, whether it's sports or business, you have to have planning, you have to have succession planning, and you know, we always hear about Gunther has his little list in his pocket of the next head coach of this sport and that sport. I assume they've been anticipating this, planning this, even planning what you're intimating in terms of an assistant coach or two going with Loxley, and they'll have it together. Frankly, I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Well, that's good. I'm sure that Gunther is happy to hear that Boz is not losing sleep over Loxley leaving. I think we ought to email Ron Zook as well and tell him to just relax. The boss says everything's going to be okay.
It's not going to affect us. We're still going to be here every Monday, noon to 2 Central.
That's true.
Talking
to
Illini.
But the other thing that I've heard through the grapevine is that the Syracuse people were scrambling as well, and that they had not eliminated Loxley from their short list. And Loxley, by my way of thinking, basically told them to go take a powder.
Well, I think this is a pretty good fit for Loxley. Actually, it's a decent size stage, but not the biggest. I have reservations on whether or not he would have been or how successful he would have been on the really big stage as the head coach of a program. Obviously, he's proven he can recruit, but there's a lot of other things, as we know, and that Coach Zook has experienced, that goes into being the man, the head coach, in terms of planning, recruiting, you know, game preparation, game coaching, et cetera. And, you know, Syracuse, Clemson, some of these other bigger names and bigger places.
It's the Duke assistant basketball coach syndrome. A lot of these Duke assistants got big jobs before they ever really were able to hone their trade at smaller institutions. As a result, they fall flat on their face. Tommy Amaker was one. Quinn Snyder was another. The only one who's had any success and was really not a Duke player but came to Duke by virtue of an assistant's job was Bray is starting to have consistent success at Notre Dame. The one thing I will say to you is I really think this is an opportunity for Loxley to grow at an under-the-radar institution to really hone his craft. And I really believe long-term that Loxley will be a better head coach than a coordinator. And I think that someday in the near future, we may be talking about him as a potential replacement for Ron Zook after Zook's retirement in 5 years or so.
Well, I agree with you in terms of, again, this is a nice step to go for 4 or 5, however many years, and then make the leap to the bigger stage for him. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748 or email us like our friend Doug in Harrisburg, which is down by Carbondale, at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. Doug, thanks for emailing. Thanks for being a fan and spreading the word about Talking Illini. This portion of the show brought to you by our lead sponsor, Joe Rizza Auto Dealerships, RizzaCars.com. There you go, Mr. G.
And also our new sponsor, our basketball sponsor, LPAC Athletic Club, Chicago Athletic Clubs, with 4 locations conveniently located in Lincoln Park, Evanston, Lakeview, and the West Loop.
Does that mean we could go to basketball now? Because since we last saw each other last Monday, I saw 6 games.
Don't you want to read Doug Short's email?
Okay. Well, he was asking about Loxley, wasn't he?
But I think we ought to give Doug credit when our loyal emailers.
Absolutely.
Looks like Loxley is going to be the head coach at New Mexico, talking about it on Scout and Rivals. Well, they may be talking about it on Scout and Rivals, but we've got the answers here on Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. And by the way, Boz, it's Talking with a G. Thank you.
As in Mr. G. So now can we talk about basketball?
Certainly.
excuse me, 6 games I saw since last Monday in person. I passed on the 7th game, the Bulls game Saturday.
Sort of like a biblical story on the 6 games and then the seventh game.
I needed to rest. I was invited to a party and I was able to watch the Bulls game as well as Oklahoma just murder Missouri. And we'll talk about football later, the pairings. We'll talk about the Big Ten ACC. But let's talk now about the Clemson game and the Georgia game. We're 7-1 going into tonight's game versus Hawaii. And I like where we are. I like what Bruce is doing. I like how the kids are responding. For the most part, they're playing together, playing pretty well, improving in most areas. And I like what I see, and it's enjoyable basketball.
I'm not sold yet. I mean, there are things that are positive things going on. I still think there's too much wasted ball movement, dribbling at the top of the key. It's not as fluid as I'd like to see as it relates to ball movement. I don't think we do enough back screening and almost like a reverse V cut back into the basket. You know, where you see teams, especially a team like Clemson that overplayed the heck out of us. We don't do enough back cutting. We let people overplay us, and it really bogs down our offense because when we get overplayed in a situation like that, we really don't know what to do because the picks don't really work because guys are going outside the picks. They're going over the top of them, and they're taking away those wing passes. We've got to devise an offense that really allows us to reverse the ball back into a down-low situation and get the ball to Tisdale and Keller and Davis in a positive situation. The other thing I will say that I was thrilled about during the Georgia game was Keller and Davis on the floor at the same time. I thought that was a move that I wanted to see more of. I think that there are clearly our two most athletic big men. They allow us mobility and the ability to vary our offense in ways that Tisdale and Semerau can't do when they're on the court. And even though we give up a little size in those situations, we have a lot more activity on the court.
But we don't have to give up size. Why not have the two of them with one of the centers and two guards, like excuse me, like most people play? They're athletic enough, and then, you know, with McCammy and one of the other guards, let's put the best 5 players on the court.
You will see Keller in that situation where Keller, Tisdale, and Davis are playing. But I'm telling you that the way this offense runs in its current configuration, it's very difficult to have a 6'6", 6'7", wing player who cannot put the ball on the floor very well and who cannot consistently shoot the ball well from the outside. Keller has to prove that he can be versatile enough to play the wing in this offense. I'm not sure he's there yet.
Well, the wing doesn't necessarily have to put the ball on the floor for too many dribbles, and I don't think the coaching staff wants anybody to. It's a pass and cut design. However, my problem with it, or my question with it, is which way are we passing and which way are we cutting? Our motion seems to be a pass and pick away design where after we pick away, then the other player coming around that pick.
Boz is drawing in the sand here, by the way.
Is coming away from the basket, receiving the ball, pivoting to shoot, or then make another pass, as opposed to pass and cut towards the basket. Our guys rarely do that. When they do, they're not doing it hard enough or fast enough, and they're not looking.
Who's the guy who's typically open on a basketball play?
The guy that has just passed the ball because the defender relaxes.
I disagree.
Yes.
It's the guy setting the screen who's typically open. The guy setting. Augie had that play down. Roger Powell had that play down. They'd set that screen. Men would be overplaying, trying to get to the shooter. And what would Augie do in that situation? He'd bleed down to the basket, have open layups or dunks off of that play. Davis has got to learn that play.
Right. That's a good point. And the other question is the picker, are they usually when I learn basketball, the guy that sets the pick is supposed to roll to the basket. Back in our day, there was no European philosophy where the picker then just watches the guy go around them and stands and waits for him to throw it back to him. Because in worst case scenario, the ball handler going around the pick, if he doesn't want to pass it to the rolling pick, at least the pick follows to get a rebound if the guy driving in.
You have to mix it up. Sometimes he's diving to the rim. Sometimes he's stepping out.
Right, but we don't mix it up enough.
Sometimes he's stepping out to
an
open area.
We don't mix it up enough.
Or he's setting an off-ball pick for the guy who just made the pass at the point.
For the most part, it's been a lot better than last year. It takes time to learn. It looks like they're getting it a lot better. But you're right. We don't roll to the basket enough. And the passers don't cut to the basket enough.
Now, Tisdale and Samurai don't have very good hands at this point. It's very hard for them to catch the ball and secure it in traffic. And that's something that has to be addressed, because you can't have a non-option, you know, when you have a big man who's playing down low who can't catch the ball very well.
Correct, and they're working on that, I'm sure. Now, one thing I noticed about...
You see
about
the difference in the Georgia guys? I mean, Georgia sucked, but, I mean, you saw the difference. These guys were men.
Yeah.
They just pushed us around inside.
Right.
What was the rebounding in that game?
On the Georgia game?
I mean, it's hard to find fault in a 36-point victory, but it just seemed like those guys were big and strong. They were not basketball players. We had basketball players.
Right. They out-rebounded us 34-26.
34-26.
We still won by
big margin. Again, they're not basketball players, but it was just a function of that these were big, athletic kids who could jump and were just clearing us out underneath the basket.
All right, let me say something about Tisdale's hands. I noticed, and this is what I would tell him or anyone else that wanted to listen, when he's posting or running through the lane...
What'd you say, by the way?
No, I'm kidding. When Tisdale is posting, looking for the ball, calling for the ball, he has his hands out in front of him, almost like when he's making a chest pass, as opposed to having him straight above his head so he has more room to catch something, because there's nobody up there 7'2 plus his wingspan. I think it would be a lot easier for the entry pass and maybe a lot easier for him to receive to get used to. Remember Bill Walton? He used to just go back and forth in the lane. His hands were always up, a fundamentally sound type maneuver. And I think Tisdale needs to get his hands up straight.
What I did notice on Saturday, though, was on almost consecutive possessions, it was pretty close to each other in the game, both Tisdale and Davis had put back baskets of their own misses where they actually showed very nice leaping ability. They kept the ball high in the air. They didn't bring it down and were able to put back their own misses in a single jump and shot. And I thought they both did a very nice job of that, although Tisdale went up so weakly with his initial shot that it kind of angered me that he wasn't able to finish the first shot, which I thought was a really easy opportunity.
Have you ever seen anyone make so many baskets close in consistently without using the backboard? Davis has this nice little feathery touch, but he never uses the backboard. One day that's just going to come back and haunt, maybe. But
I don't think so.
He seems to have the knack. I've never seen anybody else like that, and certainly that's not taught, that when you're that close, you got to use the square.
He kind of reminds me of a Boston Celtics player in the 1980s. You know, he has this wonderful mid-range game where he has just got a beautiful touch. The final step is getting his footwork down and his strength up around the basket. So not only can he do that little 8 to 15-foot jump shot from all angles of the basket, but now he's got the drop step underneath the basket where he's finishing like Kevin McHale down low.
And which balls? Oh, that's the Boston Celtic player, Kevin McHale?
Well, no, I'm just saying that he could have played on those type of teams. Those teams were really perfect. The last team to perfect the art of the mid-range game were the Boston Celtic teams of the mid-'80s, early and mid-'80s. And Davis could have fit in that situation. He's really got a very, very fine mid-range game. The one thing he has to do is get stronger and finish with footwork around the basket.
Well, he will. You couldn't ask anything more of him. He's doing great. McCamey's doing fine. He's got a lot of room to improvement. But, you know, you see flashes of brilliance there. Here's an email from Kevin in Arlington Heights asking about McCamey and about our motion offense. Based upon your observations so far, would you say that there is less motion going on when McCamey's in the game versus when other guards are in? I heard Coach Weber yell, "Move, Dimitri," a couple times and started to focus on this, and it seemed as though he was hanging around the perimeter but in the same general area for several seconds. Perhaps this is as designed. Your expert thoughts, Mr. G. Kevin, Arlington Heights, a lifelong fan. Would you like to address that?
You know, I really believe that McCamey doesn't know how to play point guard yet. He doesn't understand fully how to involve his teammates. I think a lot of this is fool's gold. You know, you look at the way, you know, he shot on Saturday and even some of the shots he made in the game against Clemson. I really think people are going to be lulled into a false sense of security. He doesn't fully understand how to play the position. He doesn't understand how to break down teammates, break down players and get his teammates involved. I think that that's what he has to learn how to do. And plus the fact you cannot go through the motions, no pun intended, on this offense. You have to have sharp cuts, sharp movement of the ball, quick movement of the ball. You can't lollygag. You can't go through the motions. McCamey has barely scratched the surface. He has the potential to be a very fine player. He'll never have the foot speed and the footwork to be a great player, but he can be a very, very fine college guard. He can approach Frank Williams status, I think, but not Darren Williams status as a point guard, but he really needs to fully understand the game and learn the game.
This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748 or email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com.
We know you're out there listening. We're getting, by the way, we're getting fan mail from people out there.
People we don't know.
My wife is a little nervous. She says, "You're getting fan mail?"
Yes.
I said, "Yeah, fan mail. No underwear, no lipstick, but fan mail, yes."
And fans, when you do email, let us know where you're from. If you got time to comment a little, how you heard of us, whether you listen live or on the archive version. And those of you that are listening now and know of fans that can't listen and listen tonight or tomorrow, or are spreading the word to other people that don't know us, remind them that it is archived. I was talking to someone yesterday, said I can't make it during noon to two. He didn't know that he could go home last night and listen to it. So we are archived for podcast 24/7 listening. And
remember, this is your program, Illini Nation. It belongs to you. Nowhere else in sports radio are we talking exclusively Illini. So email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. Call us at 888-463-6748. We're going to break for a minute with these words from our very, very, very fine sponsors.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Attention. attention all civilians.
You're listening to TalkZone.com.
Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
We are back talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Give us a call, 888-463-6748. Or email at talkingillini@yahoo.com. A lucky caller, lucky emailer will earn gift certificates to Lou Malnati's Pizzeria and Wildfire Steaks, Chops, and Seafood. And if you're online reading the chat boards, talking about Loxley, talking about the basketball game tonight against Hawaii, give us a call.
By the way, one of my favorite nicknames in all of college sports, the Rainbow Warriors.
The Rainbow Warriors, I saw were like a 20-some point favorite in this game.
22-point favorite.
Does that
bode well for us? Who cares? You know, we got to go out and play the games, win the games, and that's that.
Okay, we're going to segue a little. We're going to try to do this every week. Keep tabs on our recruits, the recruits that are signed to be freshmen next year, and some of the recruits that are juniors that have verbaled already. So we're going to welcome in for the second time to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G, our friend in suburban St. Louis, Chris Griffey, the father of Tyler Griffey. Chris, how's the weather down in St. Louis today?
A little better today. A little better today. It was cold yesterday.
Oh, but I'm sure you're used to it down there.
It was it was balmy here in Chicago, Chris. I was out with my suntan lotion. So
you guys have the first week you had like one game, but this past week you had 4 or 5 games in 6-7 days. Heavy schedule. Tell us a little bit about how Tyler's team is doing and how he's doing.
All right. We had a fast and furious start. We started last Saturday in a shootout in southeast Missouri and beat a pretty good Sykeston, Missouri team down there. Tyler did pretty well. Probably his best game, I think, so far. Fresh legs and everything. Since then, we've had actually 5 games in 7 days. And the last one was a killer. But he's doing well. He's doing well. His first 3 games, he was 25, 26 points each game and over 10 rebounds, I think, each game. And actually, the first game, he had 17 rebounds. And then we lost in the finals to a little tournament on Friday to a guard-oriented team. But we hung in there. We played well. We were worried about the pressure and stuff, and that wasn't the factor in the game, actually. Believe it or not, it was rebounding and just couldn't get some loose balls and stuff. And they beat us by 9. And then that game ended at 10:30 at night. They got on a charter bus at 11 o'clock and made it down to Kentucky at about 2:30 in the morning and played at noon. So,
my God, are these kids getting paid for all this or what?
Hey. You can't pay kids.
Is Tyler become like a marked man because he's, you know, signed with a big time team? Or is he getting double, triple teamed and gimmick defenses thrown at him? What's going on along those lines?
Not so much. A little bit. I think one team started that way on him and then kind of backed off. But this team is. They're good kids. They play hard, but some of them just don't have the I don't know what you would call it, the summer experience, I guess, of basketball. And he's having to help bring the ball up the floor a lot, and that's just tough on him. One, I think it wears him out.
But long term, it's going to benefit him. It's going to help his ball handling skills. It's going to make him a more complete player. It may be tough this year, but I think in the long run, it's a positive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, it would just be so nice for him to run down to the block and get him the ball. And everybody says, why don't we get him on the block? Why don't we get him on the block? Well, you know, when you're being pressed and he has to touch it just about every time, he has to come back and touch it and either dribble it up or make a couple passes to get it up. And then he's got to go get in the offense. And, you know, it's just tough. Like I said, they're good kids. They're playing hard. We just had a tough, tough stretch there. And, we're 3-2. They've won 3 of them and lost 2. So far, so good.
Good. It has now, where is he getting his points, down in the block or on the wings, 15, 18 feet out, or a little bit of everything?
A little bit of everything. He's been putting on the floor a little bit and cutting into the middle and, you know, taking a little 10, 8-foot jumper. He's got a couple threes this year. He had been in that first game, I think he had four threes. And then he's been, you know, they have get it to him on the block a couple times once we can get him. We played one game, I think it was in the semifinals of that tournament, that was just a grinded out, you know, zone defense. They weren't just going to, you know, it was a low four scoring 40s point game, and he hit the last second shot with about, well, not last second, about 2 seconds left, I guess. I guess that's last second. It was kind of a clunker that went in, and it was just one of those tough, grinded out games. But I'd say it's kind of spread out for him. It really is. He's, like I said, he's got a few threes, getting inside some, and hitting, you know, the little 10-foot, 12-foot jumper, too.
Has Tyler made friends with Bradley Beal yet?
I don't know about that. I don't know if they're friends or not. I got to see that 52-point effort by him. It was quite a show. He was actually, and I don't mean this to be negative, the kid was, he was just the first quarter, I think he might have been shut out or something. I mean, he was like 1-for-7 or something. And then that fourth quarter, there was 2 7-8-second stretches where he scored like 7 or 8 points.
And what, is he a sophomore?
He's a sophomore.
Unbelievable. How big is he?
Long, lanky, maybe 6'2". Looks like he could grow some more. But he's getting bigger. I remember being really thin his freshman year, but he's a lot thicker this year.
Yeah, the sophomore class in the state is
no,
just
no,
loaded.
He's a St. Louis kid.
Oh, okay. But, well, the sophomore class that we're going after, I'm sorry, not in the state, but the high school class.
Boz doesn't say there's any distinction between Missouri and Illinois. He thinks that, you know, you're a part of the state of Illinois.
Well, we're all friends now. We're all one big happy family.
That's fine for us.
How's Tyler's defense, rebounding, staying out of foul trouble? Because a lot of times I know big kids in high school, the other team kind of goes at him early, try to get him out of the game with some easy, cheap fouls. Is he staying out of trouble there?
Yeah, he hasn't fouled out yet. He had, I think, 4 in one game. Matter of fact, I'd like to see you get at least 3 or 4 every game.
Right, you can't take him home with you.
Nope. No, you can't. And he's doing fine. He's healthy. He's, that was a tough stretch, though. I mean, I think they're just, all the kids were just a little gassed, to be honest with you. They were just wore out. And they got down. It was in that Marshall County Hoop Fest last Saturday was that last game. And, they were, 18 down at one point and got it back to within 3 and had the ball with 2 or 3 minutes left. And then just couldn't get over the hump. He's defensively, I think he's doing okay. He's we got a big kid inside, and so he's having to guard a 6-footer, a wing player, a lot of times. And I've been impressed with his defense. He's averaging 2 or 3 blocks a game, and keeping the man in front of him. And I think that's all you can ask when you're 6'8", and just if you're not guarding another power forward that's on the block, I mean, you got to get on in a wing some. I mean, that's another thing that's going to benefit him tremendously, and I've been impressed with that so far. He's done a pretty good job.
Chris, one of our listeners, Carm, wants to know what Coach Weber did during the process that made his staff stand out from some of the other staffs you talked to.
Oh, boy, I don't know. They were just real consistent. They were just there all the time. Never come up and, would say Tyler's going to do this or Tyler's going to do this at Illinois. They were just always there and said they wanted him to play for Illinois, they were just real consistent in that strategy of making their phone calls when they could, coming down to seeing the games that they could, the practices that they could. And, I would say it was just that consistency from the very beginning. And I'm talking eighth grade for him.
Yeah. I think Bruce, like it or not, is a brutally honest, brutally is probably the wrong word, but he's a consistently honest human being. He really doesn't have a filter. He will tell you what he thinks, and you will know about his character and his position on an issue whether you want to or not. And a lot of these kids want to be deluded and want to be told something that may not necessarily be true and may not necessarily happen. But I think from Bruce what you'll get is exactly what he means.
Absolutely. And I always cringed when I'd hear a coach say, you know, if he comes to this school, he'll start from day one. You know, I'm like, how do you know that? How can you, you know, that kind of turned me off, to be honest.
Yeah. And are they telling this to 12 different kids?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And who else have they said that to? You know, and that, you know, I would much rather see him, you know, say, you know, this is where we see him fit in, and this is what we see him doing, you know, the first year, and then, you know, buying for time on his sophomore or junior year. You know, that's a much more realistic and, I think, honest approach, like you said. And like I told you last time we talked with my wife, I mean, we asked him, what do you want him to do this summer, you know? What do you want him to do? I mean, do you want him to play every day? Do you want him not to play every day? And he said, I just want him to enjoy his senior year. That's what I want him to do. He should do whatever he wants. If he wants to play every day, he plays every day. If he doesn't want to play at all, don't play at all. So, anyway, he was just extremely honest.
Have you had a chance to see many of the Illini games thus far on TV? And if so, what do you think about how they're doing right now?
I haven't seen as many as I'd like to. There always seems to be something going on with my other little ones and practices and games and things. But I've seen bits and pieces. I hope to watch a little bit of the one tonight if it's on in our area. I'm not even sure yet. I think they're coming along. I mean, can't hardly complain about it. Was it 6-1 now or 7-1?
7-1, right.
7-1 start. And, you know, realistically, Clemson, they were there. They could have beat them. They had their shot. And, I think they're doing well. I think, I know there's some things the way you guys dissect it and all the Illini fans dissect it. There's a lot of more intricacies than that. But, Mike Davis is playing well in his first, I guess, a full starting type role. I think Dimitri's better. I mean, wouldn't you guys say? What do you think?
Well, he's better. He's just scratching the surface. I really think that he's right now. He's playing more like a two guard. He really needs to understand the point position and understand how to make his teammates better by making sure that the ball moves fluidly on top and also by breaking down things at the end of a possession and getting opportunities for his teammates.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. Like I said, you guys got a little more detail than me, but Samari's been, a surprise and healthy and playing well. I thought, I think they're all doing their job.
What I've seen against our last two, major college opponents, actually really going back to Tulsa, is that the big men on some of the other teams are athletic and stronger than our big men. And if I have a complaint, it's I'd like to see, Semerow is a big guy, but he's not very athletic. Whereas Tisdale and Davis and Keller have good athleticism, but not necessarily that strong. I'd like to see our kids come in a little more prepared in terms of the strength and hone those basketball skills, but also come in a little bit stronger.
That's a good analogy. I mean, that's where this game is going to, is this, I hate to say it, but I really think the finesse player is getting kind of shut out. And getting knocked out over the strength and just the brute, physical play is tough. And it's kind of like our first game. Our guards were just getting hammered. I just don't understand these referees when they, I don't mind the physical play underneath. That's fine. That's, the pushing and shoving in there is great, I think. But when a kid's got the ball, he's just dribbling up the floor. There should be no touching. There should be no hand checking whatsoever.
Yeah, I thought Clemson got away with mauling Illinois, and it's not sour grapes. It was the way the game was called for both teams, and we just didn't have the strength to match up with them, and especially those last 10 possessions or so when Clemson just had their way with Illinois, it was really about imposing their will from a strength standpoint and us not being strong enough to hold them off down the stretch.
Exactly.
Well, and I think it's a matter of, age and maturity. I think these guys will get stronger, and obviously you want the best of both worlds with the athleticism, speed, quickness, and the strength. Look at, someone like Davis. Obviously he could use a lot more strength, but he's doing pretty well as is right now. So he's still got two more years after this, and you'll look to see him get a little, broader shoulders and stronger, and I think that'll come. I'm very satisfied with what I see, Chris, and it bodes well for the future, because what I was looking for from this team was the improved play of the sophomores, especially the big guys, because three of the next year's four recruits are going to be guards, and you want the upperclassmen to have the experience to, so the young guys don't have to shoulder the load. And I think I see that thus far in the first eight games, and there's plenty of season left to keep improving. And with Tyler as the fourth person of that class, the lone big guy, a lot of good things down the road for the Illini basketball squad.
You know, dads are usually hypercritical of their children. Give me your scouting report on your son.
Who? Wow. How would I do that? Man, I don't know. You know, he's kind of one of those kids that's tough because he's usually bigger, you know, as far as high school is concerned, he's bigger than most. So, you got to put a decent sized kid on him. You got to put a quick kid on him. I would say probably that right there, you know, a 6'4", 6'5" kid who's quick and can maybe deny him the ball some. And that's what I would try to give him trouble, but he'll go all the way out to the top and get it too. And then you got to figure that out. But, obviously, he's not going to do as much damage with it, but he's been passing the ball real well, too, this year.
So. All right, give me a grade from A to F, A being the best grade. Quickness.
Oh, I think it's better this year, so I'm going to say B minus.
Jumping ability.
B plus.
Strength.
Again, it's much better. Not for high school, it's good. It's real good. For the Big Ten, he's got a ways to go.
So right now, maybe a C?
Maybe a C.
Okay. Passing ability.
That's been really good. I'm really impressed. I was a horrible passer in high school and college. I give it an A minus.
Well, hopefully you can shoot then.
defensive man-on ball defense.
Been good. I think it's been good. I mean, he hasn't gotten lost too much. I'll give him a good solid B there.
Okay, help defense.
Oh, there's one I can work on. See, and it was after the first game. I want him to challenge more. I want him to come off his man and block more shots. And when one of the other guys gets in trouble or whatever.
And then lastly, shot blocking ability.
Again, good. Good. He's got you know, two or three blocks already a game. He broke the career block record at Lafayette his freshman year, I think, or was like one away from it his freshman year. So. That's been pretty solid.
We hope we didn't put you on the spot here, Chris.
a little bit. That's all right.
Well, you'll have to just keep the computer away from Tyler so he doesn't hear what you said when he comes home today. sounds like he's off to a great start, and we appreciate you taking some time to join us.
Tell him to make friends with Bradley Beal, too, all right?
Will do.
Have a good holidays to your entire family. We'll check in with you after New Year's. And thanks for talking to Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay,
thanks,
Chris. Take care. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748. Email at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. We'll be right back in a moment.
Get one-on-one information from some of the best-trained professionals in the financial services business. Stephen King is with AXA Advisors, part of the global company helping 50 million people reach their financial goals. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24-7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to five vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
You're listening to TalkZone.com.
Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
And now, let's get back in the game for more Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Boz and Mr. G.
Yes, we're back in the game, Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Just spoke with Tyler Griffey's father, got the lowdown on Tyler's first six, seven games of his senior season. Sounds like he's off to a pretty good start, and it sounds like we got a nice ball player coming in next year. I'm not sure if he's going to be a three or a four, but I guess probably a four with looking at the other recruits that we'll have next year with him and the year after with Jeremy and Crandall possibly.
Well, I mean, I really, you know, Simpson is part of that class now, too.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm looking forward. I think Simpson's going to help out a lot. I mean, he could do a little both, you know, in terms of run the floor, play back to the basket, and also face the basket, hit kind of like Mike Davis.
You know, he's got a younger brother who's coming up who I hear is quite a point guard, too. Homer.
No, there is a point guard named Simpson, by the way, who's a freshman at, I believe it's North Chicago, that plays for Dickie Simpkins' AAU program, and our staff is well aware of him. I thought you were going there, and I'm thinking, I don't think it's his brother, because he's
call us
North
right
Chicago.
Now at 888-463-6748 and stump Scott Bosley, the Boz, on a high school basketball question with a major college prospect. If he doesn't know about him, no one does.
Well,
call us now, 888-463-6748. Try to stump him regarding a major college prospect in the state of Illinois.
You're putting a lot of pressure on me because I really only follow our guys or the guys we're going after. I saw a game last Wednesday night. I told you I was going, and if there's a better game that is played this high school season, I hope I'm also there as well. Zion Benton went to Warren High School for the first conference game of the year. Each team had played only three games, you know, over the previous Thanksgiving weekend. And the final score was 89-84. Now, you would think that maybe there wasn't much defense played, but these kids, all of them, played their heart out. First off, Illini Nation, you'll be thrilled to hear that Brandon Paul's parents, they proudly display and dress in orange and blue, or show some of it. Warren's colors are blue and white, but our friend Cliff Paul had a nice button-down orange Illini shirt on. And even Brandon, when they came out for warm-ups, he put his water bottle, and he had a little orange hand towel, kind of, I guess, maybe one of those Zook Zone towels or whatever. But they're already, you know, got the orange and blue Kool-Aid going and looking forward to next year. And they are very proud of Brandon and proud to be part of the Illini family. This game, everybody has heard of also Lenzel Smith, who we would have liked to have, but frankly we didn't have room for scholarship numbers wise. And Lenzel and Brandon played on the same AAU team this summer, again in Dickie Simpkins' NLP, Next Level Performance Program. And the two young men did not guard each other until a little in the third quarter and a little in the fourth quarter. But basically, Brandon ended the game with 27 points. Lenzel Smith ended the game with 39 points, including five threes in the fourth quarter and a total of 17 points to try to keep Zion Benton in the game or get him back in the game. Zion Benton is a better team. I mean, they have more players, they're higher rated, and even I saw in today's paper, even after the game, they're still rated higher. But it was one of those games where
The complimentary teammates of Brandon had great games, and Warren won the game 89-84. Where Zion Benton went down was their center, who's a recruit for Tennessee State, a kid named Marcus Yarborough, didn't have such a great game compared to, again, Warren's other players. Had a couple of them had career nights. One kid named Duncan had 21 points, a lefty, including several threes. But if anybody in the north end of Chicago hasn't seen Brandon Paul play yet, you got to go out, go online, find Warren's schedule. I'm not sure the name of the league, but they play Stevenson High School, Lake Zurich, teams up in the north suburbs. He's just a joy to watch. He's very smooth, very athletic, and I actually saw him do a couple things that I never seen him do before, which also got me very excited about him bringing his game down to Champaign
next
year.
Some people download porn. Boz gets excited by watching high school basketball.
Well, you know, if we're here talking about it, this is our team, and, you know, I could think of a lot of worse things to do on a Friday night or some. But Brandon actually, you know, he's got great leaping ability, and normally, you know, he's going to be great in our motion offense, coming out and catching and shooting, but he could also put the ball on the floor, drive to the hole, or stop on a dime and pull up. And I saw him, Lenzel Smith, the first time he guarded him midway through the third quarter as the game was getting close, Brandon took him to the baseline right, elevated. Lenzel was there, and Brandon actually hung in the air for what seemed to be several seconds and was able to can the shot from the baseline. It was a thing of beauty, and I really never seen
Who's
that
taller,
before.
Lenzel or Brandon?
You know, they look kind of the same. Lenzel, I think, is listed at 6'4". He's husky. Lenzel is built like McCamey and Darren and some of those guys, but he's getting, you know, trimmer and more physically fit as well. They're about the same size, but Lenzel is a bull, and he plays with a motor 100%.
You know, I haven't heard the word husky used this century, maybe in reference to a football mascot, but I like it. Go with that. Husky.
Well, you know, that's how he is, you know, but he's an awesome player. And I don't want to hear from anybody, oh, we blew it, we should have recruited him instead of this guy, etc. Understand that there's a lot of good players all over the country in our state. We only can get three or four a year. Some kids fit, some do not, although this kid would have fit. He's a very intelligent. I would have liked to seen him go to Northwestern. He could have been the Mark Aguirre for Northwestern in terms of potentially turning that program around, I think, if they could have gotten him.
You know what? Carmody is not going to attract that type of talent. What Carmody...
It's too good for him? Is that what you're saying?
Too good. Too, you know, a guy who really wants to play in a system where there's more freedom. You know, Northwestern is a system that really is a very rigid system where you're a widget in a bigger machine. And as much as I like Northwestern, as much as, you know, they're our hometown Chicago College team, it's really a boring style of basketball to watch.
Absolutely. I agree. I think the problem is that they walk it up and they milk the shot clock. If they did what they do in terms of their motion, in fact, I like their motion because they have guys cutting to the basket.
Well, Georgetown runs it at a faster pace, but they have better athletes.
Right.
Too.
Well, so why can't you get better athletes and run it? If you run it at a faster pace, then it works and makes sense.
Well, Carmody's personality is such that he's not going to recruit athletic, you know, star kids to a program. He just doesn't have that personality. He's really a guy who should probably be teaching a college course.
Well, maybe he does that too. The reason I mentioned Lenzel in Northwestern simply is because he's a bright young man. I've met him. I've spoken to him. Very courteous. He remembered my name when we were done. He said, "Nice to meet you, Mr. Boz," stuff like that. And it would be nice to, you know, keep him in the neighborhood and get to see him play. Now, speaking of Carmody, because I did mention to you, I saw six games, one of which was the DePaul Northwestern men's game Saturday after the Illini game.
Is there a worse coach team in America than DePaul,
oh my
by
God.
The way?
Jerry Wainwright looks like a Clutch Cargo. He didn't move his jaw or
And then after the
well,
game,
they were missing their best player.
He gets blown out. Well, Koshkol or whatever his name is.
Matt Coswell.
Coswell. But after the game, you know, they lose by 30, and he's like, well, you know, it wasn't for lack of effort. We just didn't execute very well. Come on. That was just a pee-poor effort on their part.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head, Mr. G. I won't hesitate to give you credit on this. You mentioned it last week. You know, I think this is at least is his fourth year at DePaul, and we keep hearing every year all these recruits. A friend of mine told me, I think, that last year was going to be the beginning because the previous guys were all gone, and these were all Wainwright's guys. But I don't see anything happening there at all.
By the way, Dar Tucker, very talented kid, not so smart.
Well, he had to force things because there was no other help for him. I mean, if he didn't do anything, they weren't going to be doing anything. But speaking of Carmody, I'm glad you brought him up in his personality.
It's a Carmody.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's a riot. You know, we got to sit behind their bench close enough to see, you know, close up in person, the mannerisms and him yelling at guys in the huddle. And
by the way, I gave Boz my seats at halftime. That's why you got to sit close up.
Speaking, of course, and I appreciate it. You know, that's what I got you for, to, you know, score me the seats. But speaking of Carmody and comedy, I am now convinced that if Carmody had your beautiful, poofy presidential hair placed on his head, he would be Conan O'Brien.
Do I have red hair?
Well, other than the color, just a little longer, flowing all over the place, he would be Conan O'Brien.
You know, I'm not sure what to make of that comment, but I will say this. You know, Carmody is a very good coach. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He doesn't know how to coddle kids at all. He's wound very tightly. I'm sure he's a really nice guy off the court. In terms of the language, too, it's a big step up from O'Neal, who would swear like a sailor every game, and you could hear him in the second balcony of Welsh Ryan Arena.
Was O'Neal the last coach, or was he two or three coaches ago? I don't even remember. I guess Carmody's been there close to 8 years, so maybe it was O'Neal, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We're heading into, I guess...
By the way, Coble is a very nice player.
I was going to ask you, we're running out of time on this segment, but and we have a guest coming at 1, which I'll let you tell about in a second. But after the guest, let's talk about Coble. Let's talk about... I also saw Jeremy play Friday night at Glenbrook North. We'll talk about that. You're listening to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. It's Monday, December 8th already. And we're having a great time. I hope you are. Give us a call, 888-463-6748, or email talkingillini@yahoo.com. We got some gift certificates to give away. We got our women's volleyball team in the Sweet 16. That's the look on your face is just overwhelmingly exciting. Do you want to tell people about our guests coming up after the break? And then we'll take the break and go to... Hour number 2.
After the break, we've got an Illinois alumnus, class of, I believe, 1982. Great guy. I've known him for about 30 years now. He's built one of the most dynamic sports agency companies in the United States. I think in the 2006 review, he was voted the second most powerful agent in all of pro basketball. It's our pleasure after the break to bring on Mark Bartelstein, the principal owner of Priority Sports in Chicago. At this point, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a couple minutes with our featured guest on today's show, Mark Bartelstein. And now a word from our sponsors.
You buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including 4.
Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at Rizzo Car.